Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I want to thank you for listening this morning and hope that you'll continue to be a regular listener as we open up the pages of God's Word on each Sunday morning. We're in the midst of a short study on the subjects of the foundations of our faith. So far, we have looked at God the Father and Jesus Christ. Next, we want to look at the Holy Spirit. What is one of the most misunderstood subjects in the religious world? Without a doubt, the purpose and the work of the Holy Spirit is at the top of the list. However, if one will take away all the preconceived ideals, then it is not hard to understand this subject. The Bible makes many references to the Holy Spirit. True understanding and knowledge of the Holy Spirit cannot be obtained by deductions of logic, books of men, human philosophy, or even science. It is only by a matter of divine revelation. So, where else would one go to find the answers besides the Bible? Much confusion concerning his person and his work. Even among our own brethren and among many who claim to be believers in God, there are many misunderstandings of the part that the Holy Spirit plays. There are two different positions taken by the majority of religious people concerning the Holy Spirit. One, held by the majority of people, is a direct operation of the Holy Spirit, insists that the Spirit leads, sanctifies, and produces faith by exercising its influence in addition to the written word. The second position is an indirect operation of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit leads, sanctifies, and produces faith and repentance, but he does it through the medium of the word. The Holy Spirit is another one of the foundations of faith which God has given us. To fully understand he is a foundation to our faith, we must have an understanding of who he is and what he does in the conversion of one to Christ. First of all, who is the Holy Spirit? He is the third person of the Godhead, according to passages as Matthew 28, verse 19, and 1 John 5, verse 7 and 8. The Godhead is composed of three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Godhead is found in Acts chapter 17, verse 29, Romans 1 and verse 20, and Colossians 2 and verse number 9. Deity, it means one true God, the attributes of God, and it indicates the divine essence of the Godhead, the personality of God. He is a person. Personal pronouns are used in John 14, verse 16, verse 26, and also again in John 16, verse 13. How can there be three persons yet one God? That was confusing even in Jesus' time, John 10 and verse 30, and also by his own disciples in John 14, verse 9. How are a man and wife one flesh in its purpose and in their desire? Same way that there are three persons and one God. They act in unity. They act for the same purpose. They act for the same goal. And they all act together. They have three distinct persons with three distinct roles. The personal attributes of the Holy Spirit give us the answer that he is a divine personality. What he possesses manifests personality. According to Romans 8, verse 27, he has a mind. According to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11, he has knowledge. And he has affection, according to Romans 15, verse 30. And he also has a will, according to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. What he does manifests personality. He speaks, as we read in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. He testifies of the things he knows, according to John 15, verse 26. He teaches us, according to John 14, verse 26, and according to the promise of Jesus himself, he would guide men to all truth, John 16, verse 13. He searches the hearts of men, according to 1 Corinthians 2 and 10, and according to passages as we have example in Scripture, he leads and he forbids, as we see in Acts 16, verse 6 and 7. What can be done to him manifests personality. You can despise him, according to Hebrews 10:29. You can blaspheme him, according to Matthew 12:31 and 32. You can resist him, as those did in the days of Stephen in Acts 7, verse 51. And you can lie to him, as Ananias and Sapphira did in Acts 5, verse 3 and 4. And according to the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Ephesians, you can grieve him, according to Ephesians 4 and verse number 30. These are all characteristics of a person, an entity possessing intelligence. What about the work of the Holy Spirit? What does he do and how does he does it? He assisted in creation according to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, and also according to Job chapter 26 and verse 13. He brought design and beauty and order out of chaos. He garnished the heavens according to Psalms 104 and verse 30. God was the creator, Christ was the agent, and the Holy Spirit was the organizer. He was the agent in Christ's incarnation. Read Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. He inspired the scriptures according to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 and 5, and then 9 through 13. He convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. This was a work that he was sent to do, according to Jesus himself, in John 16, verse 8 through 11. He dwells in the Christians in a symbolic way, according to passages as 1 Corinthians 3:16, Galatians 3, verse 2 and verse 14, and again in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. He was an agent in the resurrection of Christ, according to 1 Peter 3, verse 18. He gives hope, according to Romans 15:30. He brings joy, according to Romans 14:17, and he can give comfort, according to Acts 9, verse 31. And so the work of the Holy Spirit is he is a revelator. He revealed the mind of God. He revealed to us the things that God wanted men to know. He gave us his revelation, the revelation of God, so men would know the things that God demands of them. Well, that leads us to the work of the Holy Spirit in the conversion of men to Christ. Conversion means to change or to turn. Men have some names for it. They call it joining the church, getting religion, praying through. The Bible has some names to it too that are very different than men's. Being born of the water and spirit, according to John 3, 3 through 5. The washing of regeneration, as is talked about in Titus 3 and verse 5, and obedience to the faith, as we see in Acts 6 and verse number 7. How does the Holy Spirit convert? The Spirit works directly through the Word. Now let me say that again. The Spirit works directly through the Word. What has been described about the Spirit can also be said about the Word. Everything that a man wants to tell me that the Spirit does, I can show you that the Word does the same thing. Let me just give you a couple examples. Men say, well, the Spirit saves, according to Titus 3, verse 5. That's true. But in James chapter 1, verse 21, it says we're saved by the Word of God, by the engrafted Word. That's how the Spirit saves, through the Word. It says it leads us. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 4, it says, for as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8, 14. Okay, how does he do that? How does he lead us? He leads us by the Word. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Psalms 119, verse 105. Now, the Bible says it instructs us. In Nehemiah 9 and verse 20, Nehemiah says, thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheld not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. All right, how does the Spirit instruct us? Look at 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. You see, man is born of water and spirit, John 3, verse 5, but according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, being born again, not of incorruptible seed, but incorruptible, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God which lives and abides forever. You see, the seed is the Word of God. Everything that the Spirit does, it is done through the medium of the Word. That can be clearly shown through a study of God's Word. The passages that affirm the sufficiency of the Word, Jude verse 3, Acts 20 verse 32. When the Spirit instructs, He uses the Word. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 through 13. Read also Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 through 5. When the Spirit instructs, He uses words. He guided the apostles into all truth, John 16, verse 13. He was used in the first century to bring the saint, the sinner, and the instruction together, as in the case of Philip and the eunuch in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 29. He brought the preacher and the sinner together in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost. And they heard. What did they hear? They heard many words. What did they hear? They heard the gospel. If the Holy Spirit operates separate and apart from the Word of God, what does He do? What does He do? If He operates separate and apart from the Word of God, what does He do? He does not enlighten the soul, because Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 says the Word of God does that. He does not convert the soul, because we're told that the Word does that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. He does not make wise into salvation apart from the Word, because the Word tells us does that, according to 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. Does not cleanse man apart from the Word, because the Word does that, according to 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Does not sanctify us apart from the Word, because the Bible says the Word does that, John 17, 17. Does not save us apart from the Word, because the Bible says it's God's power to salvation, Romans 1, 16. Does not bring about the new birth apart from the Word, 1 Peter 1, and verse 23, as we have already read. Does not make one free from sin. The Word does that, according to Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Does not produce faith in the hearts of men apart from the Word. Romans 10, 17 teaches that truth. And cannot make a Christian perfect and furnish them to all good works without the Word, according to 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. And does not dwell in the Christian separate and apart from the Word. Read Ephesians 3 and verse 17. You see, the Holy Spirit works through the medium of the Word. His job was to reveal the mind of God, to tell us what God wants us to know, what God demands of us, what God expects of us, and what we can do to please Him. Without the work of the Holy Spirit, we would know nothing about God. We would know nothing about what He wants us to do and how He wants us to live, how His church would be organized. How do you become a member of it? How do you know what the true church is? How do you know what its work is, its worship? How do you know what kind of life to live in this world? The Holy Spirit gave us all those answers. That's His work. That's a sure foundation. Without His work, we would not know the mind of God. God gave the Holy Spirit to be a revealer. That is His work. That is His only work. And He does it in the Word and in the Word only. That's a sure foundation of faith. Come tune in again next week when we will look at the last two foundations of faith. Thank you.